to click.
Click? Were you hanging up on someone?
No, I just sometimes I say click when I press my mouse.
Oh, you using a mouse?
You know, I'll tell you this, Rana. I have a new ergonomic setup. I've got a Bluetooth keyboard down here. I raise the roof on my laptop. And I started using a mouse.
Can
a wireless mouse.
Why?
Because it was hurting my shoulders. It was hurting
really?
Me. Yeah. I was hunching. And instead I want to be, you know, Tim Gunn says, it's not throwing your shoulders back. It's lifting your chest to the sun. And then your shoulders go where they're supposed to go. So I'm trying to sit more like that.
Well, I'll tell you what. Tim Gunn has excellent posture.
He does.
Yeah.
And he says.
So that's interesting. The idea of lifting your chest to the sun. That's it.
Yep.
Sun salutation. It's funny. I was thinking the other day, why don't I do a sun salutation every morning?
You know, I was doing it for a while, and then I just got bored and stopped.
I'd probably live to be 130 if I did.
I know, right? Just open up that chest, stretch out that back.
Do those three stretches.
Yep. Because I'll tell you why. It gets boring.
Yeah, you do. The mind wanders.
It wanders. It does.
Dia.
Rana.
Let's get straight into it because we have a terrific, fun,
excited to meet this guest. I'm long a fan of this guest.
Dear old friend of mine today and a hot author. And I'm sure by the time this comes out, a New York Times bestseller.
I'm
sure. Jessie Klein is going to be with us today. I'm so excited.
As you would say, Rana, she works on every hot show.
Anything.
Yeah.
Anything you think you even have a whisper of like about.
Yep.
She had a finger on it.
That's right.
She got a finger in that pie. And she has that terrific show. We'll talk about it when she comes on.
Coming
out with Vanessa Bayer.
Which
also
is, by the way, the cross-section of everything I love.
Yeah.
I love Jessie Klein. I love Vanessa Bayer. I love Molly Shannon. And I love QVC. So I'm so excited for this.
Couple of comments. And a very interesting follow-up. And then we've got to get straight. Well, you know what? It's not really a follow-up. It's 2 cents is what it is.
Okay.
Sometimes we get people throwing 2 cents in. And
that's
Liz
right.
Beckhat in Boston could not resist throwing her 2 cents in. In fact, you know, I'll just read this down.
Just do it.
This was regarding the woman who was considering converting to Judaism.
That was a really interesting conversation.
Alex Edelman.
I really enjoyed that.
I am curious what she took away from that. I will say that stayed with me.
Me too. I loved that conversation.
And thinking about the European fairy tale class, which I thought I'd like to take, actually, the Eastern European fairy tale class.
That would be fun.
I wonder if they have it online. Maybe she can tell us.
Yeah.
But I'm curious where she is on all of that now. I hope she writes back to us. I wonder if we ever lose people once we answer their questions. What do you think?
Good question. Is if it's sort of like a one-night stand, like I've been chasing this, I got it, and I'm done now.
I think of it more as now they feel it's personal and they don't mind being a spectator of the car crash of everyone else's
life.
Got it.
They don't want to be intimately
And then
involved.
When they feel that they are quote unquote criticized in some way, they can't really continue.
Listen, Rana, this podcast is an instant pot. You either can take the pressure or you can't.
You either want those noodles or you don't.
That's right.
Dear Rana Bryan and culturally enlightened guest, if applicable. Well, we're not there at the moment, Liz. And this is a 2 cents. This isn't for the guests. The guests wouldn't be here for the 2 cents, Liz.
That's right.
And Liz, you've been listening for long enough to know that.
Yeah, come on.
I'm writing to offer the perspective of someone who did convert to Judaism. Oh.
Yeah.
As well as someone whose bonus daughter married a non-Jew who did not convert. What's a bonus daughter? Like a stepdaughter?
Maybe a stepdaughter or just one, like a surprise.
Someone you consider a friend, a daughter, I suppose.
Maybe.
They also agreed to raise their kids as Jews. So wait a second. Liz Beckhat converted. That is a headline, I'll tell you.
Sure.
Because she is all up and down the carriage house.
Is she really?
Very Jewish. Yeah. Yeah. In Boston from her penthouse in Copley Square or whatever.
Well,
would
it be the worst thing if she invited us into town once in a while?
If you know what? I'll be honest with you. She invites us all the time.
Does she?
She does. She always says, I heard you said you were going to be in town, Rana, you know, at the Four Seasons for a night.
Right.
Do you want to get a drink?
Yeah.
I'm going to be in Brooklyn at this show. Just wait till you see the end of this letter, actually.
Oh,
I have to say she's very hospitable. If I'm thinking of the right person.
Sure.
I agree wholeheartedly with all the advice given. Do not convert unless you want to and are prepared to embrace a, quote, Jewish life, whatever that may mean to your partner. You should most definitely discuss and agree on what that life looks like. Mm-hmm. I will say to the extent that that's possible. Because I think, you know, you know what's important to you, but how life actually unfolds. I just want to leave a caveat so that you can't 10 years from now say, well, you never told me you were going to want to do all the holidays. And sort of think, well, I guess I sort of grew into thinking that's what I wanted. But in any event.
People change.
I converted because I've always been attracted to the principles of the Jewish faith. The emphasis on education and tikkun olam, or healing the world. Nice. The idea that you're supposed to leave the world better than you found it.
Very nice.
I was exposed to the faith quite, you know, want to hear something funny?
Yeah.
You know, the single mother, Eliza. So sad.
Of course, the one in New York, terrible. She's the doctor.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Pressman, so sad.
Yeah.
Her daughter, Penelope, who's fabulous.
Sure.
But an absolute nerd.
She was the original Phoebe Cookies.
Penelope Cookies.
Yeah.
Exactly. Penelope Cookies. The theme of her bat mitzvah, this is how much of a Hebrew school nerd she was, except she didn't go to Hebrew school. She had like a tuna, was tikkun olam. That was her
healing
theme. Most people, it's like Penelope's sweet shop, and she did tikkun olam.
Penelope makes me realize how wonderful this next generation is going to be.
She gave all of her gifts. I think she asked people to donate to an animal charity or something like that.
Well, you know what that reminds me of, actually? Not to bash the single mother.
Yeah.
But in Mommy Dearest, so Joan sad. Crawford only let Christina keep one gift.
Mm.
And so I'm wondering if that's sort of what Elisa did.
Well, she still gave her a gorgeous best mitzvah at the Gramercy Park Hotel in the penthouse. So it was, it all worked out okay.
God, I wish she'd throw me one. Yeah.
You're not kidding. She gave her a beautiful party.
Oh, I believe you.
I was exposed to the faith quite a bit growing up in NYC. I encourage you to explore more deeply what the faith values. You might find it aligns much more with your own beliefs than you think. If you are truly willing to raise your potential children as Jews, you should understand what that entails. I have no regrets and do not feel like I, quote, lost myself for a man. I created a beautiful home and family, and I have never felt, quote, not Jewish enough. Well, that lines up with what I was saying about Liz Becker. A word to the wise. If you somehow end up not converting but being with this man, raising your kids in a, I don't think he's going to go for that, but raising your kids in a faith different from your own and your family's comes with another level of complication. The grandparents. This is an excellent point. My bonus daughter's husband agreed to raise their kids as Jews. He has no faith of his own that he holds on to, but his parents do. They are Catholic and fully expect their grandchildren to participate in their faith celebrations, such as Christmas and Easter. My bonus daughter has no issue with that, but at times struggled with some minor meddling from them with respect to undermining their Jewish traditions. Well, why don't you give us the goods? Why would you just say something like that and not tell us the story?
Anytime parents are involved in undermining, I want to hear it all.
That sounds, anytime anyone's involved in undermining.
That's true.
Give us the details.
I want it all.
I highly suggest, especially since I love undermining. I hate undermining other people, but I love people that do. I'm fascinated by it as an art form. Yes,
it's so fabulous. It's so fabulous.
To be an underminer is so strange. It's such a human quality. I'm fascinated by it.
It's wonderful.
I wonder if any animals undermine other animals.
Oh, they have to, right?
Or if it's a uniquely human, you know, there's a couple of uniquely human traits. I wonder if undermining is one of them.
I mean, doesn't a fox sort of undermine?
They must.
I think they do.
Yeah, a monkey must hide something from another monkey and say, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. I highly suggest, especially since your boyfriend's parents were so observant, that if you do decide to go that route, you have conversations with both sets of parents together to make sure they understand and respect your choices.
Oh, I see.
Disagree.
Yeah, I bristled at that one.
You get what you get and you don't get upset, as they say. Or you do get upset, but that's called in-laws. Liz Beckett in Boston. Oh, wishing you the best of luck. Liz Beckett in Boston. Proud chip since day one. P.S. Rana.
Uh-oh.
Not Rana and Brian. Rana.
Okay, Rana.
I'm going to NYC to see Luann's Cabaret next weekend.
Oh.
And plan on popping in to say hi to that doll, Connor McKay. Liz Beckett's the one who had the Negrana, per her own fault, had the Negrana sent to her second home. Remember that?
Oh,
and Connor had to figure it all out.
Yep.
So I hope to God when she pops in to see him, she brings him something like a chocolate bunny or something.
Me too. And by the way, she should be asking me this because I saw Luann's show way back when. So I know the expertise.
Oh, you think it's the same show? You're crazy.
Well,
maybe I can get him to spill some tea on the cocktail club.
Liz, you're being fresh, but also resourceful.
So listen, I actually love that follow-up. But our guest is here. So we're going to have to save our fabulous comments for later.
Yep.
I think we should let her in, don't you? I mean, I'm just so excited to get started with her. But Liz, I just want to say this. Sorry, Brian. I think I cut you off a bit. You were going to give a wrap up on that.
I don't remember. I don't think you did cut me off.
Oh, well, I normally do, so I just assumed I had.
Oh, I cut you off too, Ronna. That's the name of the game now.
Now in America in 2022? Is
pretty
that what you
much.
Mean? Yeah. Well, we're doing crosstalk. Is that what you mean? Is that what that show was
Wasn't
called?
There used Crossfire. To be Crossfire with Chris Matthews.
Did you see that Bill O'Reilly got mad at somebody at JetBlue the other day?
Are you serious?
I don't know the ins and outs. His flight from Turks and Caicos was canceled and he was yelling at someone.
Yelling
at the desk. Well, more importantly, do you know how much money Bill O'Reilly has?
So, he got paid like $500 million to leave that place.
What are you? And then he's got his book career. What are you flying JetBlue for?
Truly.
Just pony up for a private jet already and go take a real vacation.
Oh, he's awful.
That means he's cheap. I'd hate to date Bill O'Reilly.
Ew.
For that one reason. Just for that one reason.
Right. No other reason at all. Yeah.
All right. A fabulous guest to see it. Liz, thank you for that. And thank you for sharing a little piece of your own private business with us, which I genuinely do appreciate.
Yeah.
I'm dying to know what our girl decided and what's going on with the relationship. And also want to know more about the fairy tale class. But in the meantime.
AskRonnaCoffee.com, Negrana.com. And by the way, Liz is about to have a Negrana.com IRL experience. So good for her.
For real. And Connor, we've been working very hard behind the scenes with Connor on the club. So it's all coming together. It's all coming together. Without further ado.
Yeah.
Jesse Klein.
Who else?
Ah, did you hear that?
I love that sound, Ron.
I absolutely love that sound. That is the new Shopify cha-ching. Pardon
love me. It.
Every time I hear that sound, I get so excited because not only do I know that I'm supporting entrepreneurs and all the fabulous small businesses that use Shopify.
Totally.
I know that I'm going to be communicated with in such a way that makes me so happy to be a customer.
Yeah.
That is truly what I love about Shopify.
No kidding.
They keep track of it every step of the way.
Ronna, and we're familiar with Shopify even beyond that.
Pardon me.
Yeah.
We use Shopify for our coffee.
We certainly do.
So our customers absolutely know what it means to get a perfect customer service experience in terms of here's the minute you bought it. Here's the minute the package went out. Here's where it is, et cetera, et cetera. It's all there and it's so easy. Transactions are so much easier from the consumer side when you're buying something on Shop. I mean, I breathe a sigh of relief when I know I'm buying something on Shop because all my information's already in there.
It's so easy. Just a one-click pony.
Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big business. Okay, so upstarts, startups, established businesses, whatever, can sell everything from everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. That's why, as an entrepreneur myself, Brian.
Sure, yes, you are, Marna.
I know you can relate because you're also an entrepreneur.
Well, I'm also one, so yeah.
I can't recommend Shopify enough for your business. If you're thinking about getting your business online, getting everything organized, giving your customers an incredible start to finish customer service experience, seamless, I'm telling you, Shopify is 100% the service for you. Shopify powers over 1.7 million businesses, pardon me. I wish I had stock in that company.
Come on.
From first sale to full scale, as they like to say.
Cute.
And they do all kinds of integrations with apps, so you can shop through Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, you name it.
All the hits.
They give you all the insights. I'm on Shopify every minute checking out the coffee sales. I can see who bought. I can see where. My favorite thing is you can see where in the country who's visiting your store. Oh, somebody in South Dakota is thinking about buying the coffee.
Amazing.
So go to shopify.com/askrana. That's all lowercase for a free 14-day trial.
Come
and get
on,
full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. For instance, let's say Showstopper Cookies was looking to get on Shopify.
Ah,
this would
faves.
Be the moment.
Yep.
Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/askrana right now. Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something, you can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss. Wait a minute.
Wow.
The only thing I can't say about this person, because today is the actual day that her book comes out.
Right.
So I can't say, or maybe I can.
Yeah.
Instant bestseller, Jesse Klein.
Sure.
We learned that's what it's called.
Instant bestseller.
When it goes
that's
straight
right.
to the top of the charts, it's called instant bestseller.
Wow. Yeah.
So
what would
I'm
really
predict-
be more impressive, Rana,
yeah.
if she had a song accompanying the new book that also went straight to number one. I don't think that's ever happened ever.
No, a Christmas number one, like in
to
Love Actually.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
That probably never, do you think she could get a single, Jesse, dear, could you get a single together between now and next Tuesday?
That's such a hard no. That's the hardest of no's. And I really love
sing?
This confidence. Oh, man. I have a passion for song.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But not a singer.
I don't think you want to hear me sing.
Fair enough.
I want to hear it, but I don't know if I'm going to enjoy it.
That's actually, I think, the most accurate way of describing it.
But I will say this, Rana. Jesse's rhythms in the writing are musical.
Oh, man.
Have you ever read a word she's written?
Of course. I read her last book. How dare you?
That is such a high compliment.
Your last book was so terrific. I am so excited for this book. And I've already read an excerpt in the New Yorker, pardon me. No big deal.
Fabulous.
Oh, man. If you
nothing. Like, it's nothing. It's nothing.
I told my book agent, I already want to strangle myself, but I was like, you've got to get it into the New Yorker because I need my parents to be proud of me.
That's the thing that does it.
Yeah. I guess.
I mean, it's nice. I wrote a book, like that's fine. But like the excerpt in the New Yorker is the real money in the bank for that.
I thought it was, I mean, come on. If the excerpt alone doesn't make it an instant bestseller, I don't know what will, because the people that read the New Yorker, people that buy books.
Pardon. It's true.
It feels like there's a Venn diagram of New Yorker subscriber readers and
definitely.
People would be willing to throw some money at a book.
Certainly, people in the Carriage House. We're going to put a link up. It's called I'll Show Myself Out, Essays on Midlife and Motherhood. Pardon me.
Out
it's
now.
New book. I feel like I'm on a daytime talk show right now, the way I'm saying it.
Oh, it's good though, Rana.
I think anytime you're hawking a book, it feels daytime.
And by the way, Rana, our fantasy is to have a daytime talk show.
Well, that's really everyone else's fantasy if they're smart.
Right.
You know, we're willing to do it.
Right.
But it's really the world's fantasy.
I mean,
that we
it?
Should have a daytime talk. Though what I really don't, they've got to come up with some different chair between the chair that Kelly Ripa and Ryan use and
the
chair
stool.
Behind the desk.
I know.
What is more horrifying than being asked to come on looking fabulous, parade yourself out, and sit on a high stool?
And have to just use your entire core to
stay
seated?
What do you do
seated?
With your legs?
My
legs just hang off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or do a TED talk or something?
It's like you're a child. It's like that. Yeah. If
horrible.
I walk into a restaurant and it's high stools, I'll walk out.
Oh, yeah.
There better be some way to put your feet.
Somewhere sure. to put your feet.
A director's chair? How about putting on a $4,000 dress and being asked to sit in a director's chair? Try getting out of that with aplomb.
Probably. Yeah, that wouldn't be fun.
It's a nightmare. It's an orthopedic nightmare.
Jesse, dear, are you excited about the book?
I am really excited about the book. I mean, it takes forever to write these things.
So long.
It's very surreal when it comes out. It means you're done.
How long after the first book did you start writing the second? Was there a big break in there, or is that really just how long the process is?
Yes, on both counts.
Yeah.
Those are both yes or no questions. The last book came out, I want to say, in 2016. And then I think I started working on this one like around 2018, 2019.
Wow, yeah. Okay,
awesome. Because it was kind of burst the... puns, terrible. But I started to think about writing it when my son was around like 2 or 3 years old, just because the experiences I was having felt so surreal and strange becoming a parent. I mean, Rana, I don't know, you know, how much you remember.
Well, I mean, I'm a grandmother now, so it's different. Yeah. I get to just enjoy it.
You just enjoy it.
Jesse, you have to understand, her son Jordan, there was never a problem. Ever.
Of course.
He was perfect.
Normal child problems. Right. You know?
Yeah.
You can't have candy before dinner.
Right. You know, he mispronounced a French lesson.
You know, that sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Rana's a great mom.
Yeah.
You know what?
Jordan's a perfect angel.
I'll be honest with you. I was a terrific mama. But it is a tough... You know what I don't like, I have to say? I don't like when people refer to motherhood as a job. There's something demeaning about that to me when people say it's the hardest job, it's the toughest job, because it's not a job. It's some other thing.
Well, if a job is something that you get paid for, it's definitely not a job.
Correct. And also
you don't get paid.
Yeah.
Well, the job implies that you're off the clock at some point.
Yeah.
But at some point, you know, I love my job, but it's the weekend. You know, sort of thing. There is no weekend. That's not a thing. Yeah. There's no off the clock. Sleep like a cartoon dog with one eye open and hand on a steak, you know, for the rest of your life. And that's sort of what it is. So, in any event, we are here today because there are desperate people in the world, Jesse, and they have nowhere to turn. They don't.
Nowhere to turn.
They've come here because Brian and I think it's fair to say, have magnificent minds. And,
Excuse me, Rana, before we get to our magnificent minds, can I just say how effing excited I am for Jesse's new show?
Oh, my God.
We didn't even talk about the show. We've been talking about the show on the show.
And speaking of Venn diagrams, Molly Shannon, Vanessa Bayer, QVC. Is truly where I live and thrive and where I expect to be greeted when I pass.
It's not even a sweet spot. It's like it's a G spot. It feels so good.
It's a full G spot.
Exactly where you want to just keep getting rubbed. And the Jennifer
Lewis and the Matt Rogers of it all.
Fabulous. I apologize that I didn't bring that up because we were focused on you.
I was just more
But the show looks incredible.
I truly have not been excited for the show in a very long time.
The show is out April 29th.
What kind of week is this?
It makes me seem way more prolific than I am.
Who cares? Congratulations.
I know, it's a bit of a crazy week.
What?
I just picked up so much dry cleaning. That's the kind of week. Where there's like outfits, like we've got like all my little outfits had to get dry cleaned.
Sure.
It took 2 years to get it dry cleaned, but you picked it up.
I finally got it.
Yeah.
I have things at the dry cleaners that have been there for a decade, because who could get to the dry cleaners?
Can I tell you, every time I walk into a dry cleaners, which is not that often, I still feel like, who am I? The Queen of England dropping off, like dry cleaning my clothes?
I still feel fascinated when they try to find your clothes with the carousel.
I don't know how they do it.
I really don't.
It really does just feel though like a real privilege. And I know it's like the most stereotypically boring thing to talk about, but I really allowed myself to dry clean a lot of things because of this big week. With the book and the show.
Very exciting.
Like, not just dropping off dry cleaning and all, but I was like, I've got 8 or 9 pieces here.
Yeah.
Like, wow, I'm really
a fortune,
paying,
a small
I'm
fortune.
Paying for dry cleaning.
I hope you can write it off.
I hope so.
Well, listen, dear. So we're really excited. The show will be out on Tuesday. That means the book is out today. Pardon me. And then the show is out on Friday, I suppose it is.
The show streams on Friday.
Yeah.
Streams on Friday and then is on linear Showtime on the following Sunday. It's confusing now in this world where things air so many
We can't wait. We've got to get Vanessa on here too. She'll be terrific.
She would love to come talk to her.
We begin, Brian? Brian, you want to read the first one or shall I?
Oh, you know I do.
Okay, dear.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Dear Ronna, Brian, an insightful guest. My 22-year-old son, she's an author times two. My 22-year-old son turned me onto your podcast a couple years ago, and I now listen all the time. I don't know any other podcast with the combination Laugh Riot and spot on life advice that you two and your great guests dole out every week.
So true.
Thank you for adding joy to my daily walks. Yeah. I never thought I'd be asking you for advice, but I'm in a really difficult position. I'd love your thoughts. I'll try to be as brief as possible. A little over a year ago, one of my best friends died horribly of lymphoma. That's so sad.
Yikes. I'm so sorry, dear.
I'll call her Jill. We are part of a very tight group of friends who have lived in the same neighborhood for more than 20 years, raised our kids together, went on spring break camping trips, ran the sports teams and the PTA, partied together, played weekly card games, met at the pool, everything.
Where do these people live?
I don't know, but met at the pool was not.
Yeah,
the
what
most
is this incredible? But well,
what a life.
It is to, and where do they live? Hidden Hills? I mean, they've got everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, after Jill died, you know where they live, Ronna? In Burbank, they have like an REI next to an Olive Garden, next to a Chili's, next to, you know, it's a super center. That's where they have a hotel,
Brian,
there now. You could just stay there.
I've reached an age where I can only retain so much information. Okay. And none of the things you just said in a row. The Empire Center in Burbank.
That's the one.
I don't want to retain. How does
the Costco's right by it.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, Ronna, if you ever need a staycation, that's a good one. Well, after Jill died, as you can imagine, her husband John has been beyond despondent.
Yeah.
He has threatened suicide, nearly drunk himself to death, sent crazy texts in the middle of the night, been inappropriate in all kinds of ways that I have attributed to his grief. I've driven twice to his house like a bat out of hell because he texted me saying he couldn't go on. Yes, I can understand his grief. He and Jill were very happy together, and she was just a wonderful human being. A high-quality friend. Everyone misses her every day.
A high-quality friend. I'd like to be remembered as that.
Right? That's a nice. Yeah,
I would love it, but friend. I feel like I know it won't be.
Me too. Jesse, I know there's no way anyone would ever describe
that's not the words that would be used.
Either of you as a high-quality friend.
No one would describe me that way.
It won't be top of the list, but
I'll be lucky to get Mayor Memory be a blessing, kind of mumbled at a Passover.
Get out of here. Go on.
But my amateur assessment of John after more than a year of this is that he's fragile, emotionally immature, and has zero coping skills. Many of us have
hot.
Yeah. Right. Many of us have begged him to get to therapy and join AA or something. He's made very half-hearted attempts at both and seems a little better with time passing, but is currently back to drinking.
Yeah.
We've all banded together to help John through life without Jill. Meals, music, long walks, tearful conversations, movie nights, trips to the cemetery. She goes and goes, this woman. I got to tell you.
Oh, my God. That's
she
a
doesn't
lot of
stop.
Support. It's a lot of support for John.
Trips to the cemetery,
lot,
photo
yeah.
albums, memorial gatherings, Jill's birthday, Mother's Day, their anniversary, every holiday, staying in touch with his adult daughters. You Ooh. Name it. We've been there. And maybe me most of all because I'm single, divorced, so more available than our married friends, and John finds me easy to talk to. We share a similar profession, and I'm easygoing and fun. Well, all caps, the problem is that John is romantically interested in me.
Boy.
And he won't
Why
take...
wouldn't he be? You've shown all the qualities of a fabulous
Honestly, you
new
sound
partner.
Like a real catch.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, if she's interested in... I'm like, should I be?
I would.
You'll take him to the cemetery. You don't mind his dead wife can be a living memory, and you're going to take him on a picnic and a movie night and everything else.
No,
you're the perfect woman.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
He won't take no for an answer. He started coming on to me very soon after Jill died, which I attributed to his. They're honestly the worst.
And they can't handle grief for a second.
At all. They can't do anything. 5 seconds.
They can't get shots.
No.
They can't handle grief.
Because
you know, there's
never
a chapter in my book, not to keep bringing it back to my
please,
book,
honestly, let me just say this.
It's extremely on topic.
If anything applies, please do bring it up.
Definitely. There is a chapter in my book called Your Husband Will Remarry 5 minutes After You Die.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. And it just seems to be a pattern.
Yeah.
Put a pin in that for a second.
Okay, we'll come back to
get
to it.
There.
This will filter into the advice.
I didn't realize we were asking you the perfect question.
I didn't know either.
Yeah. Keep going, dear.
Yeah, sure. Okay. He hit on me soon after Jill died, which I attributed to his depression and loneliness. But now, more than a year later, he's become relentless. I've never led him on, which he admits. I have always, honestly, if gently and with humor, deflected his advances and told him while I loved being his friend, I was not interested in a relationship with him. He won't take no for an answer. He's basically emotionally blackmailing me. Every single time we're together, it's a pressure campaign. It's gotten to the point where I don't even think I can be friends with him. But this is the problem. The tight group of friends, the totally intertwined lives, the already purchased season tickets to our favorite Summer House concert series.
I'll throw myself
my
out.
God. Oh, my God.
I knew there was a summer concert series. I knew that's what this was. I knew.
You knew money had been spent.
Oh, I knew.
Yeah. And the feeling of obligation to my friend Jill to help take
Summer
care of her family.
House concert series.
Yeah, this is not good.
Words and he's, that will never
some
apply
kind
to
of
me.
A Tanglewood situation.
A series. I'll never have tickets to a series.
Oh, no, never.
There are little garden chairs and wine carriers.
Adirondack chairs. Another chair you couldn't get out of the life of you.
No.
Once you're in for the night.
Opposed to an Adirondack chair. Sorry, Brian.
Who invented
that? That was really fucking rude. And I am offended by you not being into Adirondack chairs.
Brian loves them.
That is not, that is a that is a step too far, Jesse.
I just, you know, when your glutes are as weak as my chair.
No, you have to get out of hips first.
Yeah. Well, it also doesn't make sense that a chair has that shape but isn't cushioned.
Horrible.
Cold, and they get cold and clammy. Yeah, yeah.
And dusty so fast.
But everybody loves how they look with this in front of the sunset.
And you know who loves to live between those slats? A giant spider.
No kidding. They love it.
A spider loves
you can't relax in an Adirondack chair because there's some creepy crawlies coming up your shorts.
There's a spider. There's no cushion, and I have to start thinking about getting out of it 5 hours before I get out of it.
But there's room for your drink on that.
What's going on with Jill? Yeah. Jill's
okay, here we go.
Go on.
It's gotten to the point where I think I can't even be friends with him, but this is the problem. I already did this. The summer concert series.
That's where we lost our minds.
Correct. And the feeling of obligation to my friend Jill to help take care of her family. And he's so freaking fragile. I don't know how to make this go away without causing damage. Oh, yeah. If there's any advice you can give, I desperately would love to hear it. Thank you all so much. She signs her name, but doesn't want us to use it. P.S. I really want to add this because I think it's important. When John isn't hitting on me, I do enjoy his company. I certainly haven't been hanging out with him just because I was good friends with his wife. He's funny and talented and a music buff. And I bet he has long hair. And he's been a friend of mine in his own right for many years.
Great ponytail.
Absolutely. A little thin on the top, but really thick as it goes down.
A quadrupled rubber band.
Come on, 100%. Give him a break. His wife just died.
This is what makes this turn all the more difficult to deal with. By the way, if it helps any, I feel like our letter writer has a similar hairstyle.
I don't think so.
I think she's very together,
but she does favor a white jean. There's no question about it.
Okay, I like that.
She's in a white jean, but I actually think she has a kind of a thick mane.
Yeah, I don't love a white jean,
and I think it's part of why he's so intolerant.
I think she's wearing a white jean and a twin set. I don't know.
Great what, wedge. A great
maybe
wedge.
They're smoking a little. Wedge. Yeah, there's a wedge. There's a little grass.
A two-syllable wedge.
Smoking a little grass.
A click and a clack, for sure.
Yes. Yeah. Some jangly jewelry. She's
absolutely.
Crossbody purse when she goes to the summer concert.
I would absolutely
series.
Date this woman myself.
Oh, so would I. She sounds perfect. Yes. Jesse, what are we going to do? What should she do about the grieving husband?
Well, let me start with my main headline here, which was especially... Rana, you know, when you said, take it easy, the man's wife just died. I mean, you have to have some really bad behavior to shatter the goodwill that a recent widower would normally have, but I feel like what's outlined in this letter, like I started almost in tears, like in a full love story.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, this poor man. And by the end I was like, yeah.
Creep.
Let's pick up. Pick up some pieces, John.
Yeah.
Right. That's our person. Yeah.
Yep.
And again, and what are we calling a widower friend, our letter writer? How should we refer to her? The letter writer? She doesn't want to be called by her name.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I guess just letter writer.
Our letter writer.
We can call it Joanne.
Sure.
Joanne. Okay. Yeah. Joanne. So Joanne is this.
Jill, John, and Joanne is who we have.
There we go.
Jill, no longer with us. John, very
with us. Though.
Joanne.
A classic triangle.
A fun time at a summer concert series.
Joanne is in her white jean and her gorgeous wedge with her jangly jewelry and her thick hair. And she is working so hard to take care of John, which is, I mean, and talk about a mitzvah, being so kind. But I have to say, I feel like my instinct here is that a boundary needs to be set.
She already tried it a couple of times. She set a boundary with him. She told him, look, every time she laughed it off a little. And also, but then she really said to him, you know, I'm not interested in you in that way.
But what is she saying?
He doesn't care. I mean, he's relentless.
I'm going to say that a boundary that isn't reinforced isn't really a boundary. I mean, how is Joanne setting the boundary in a real way where John, and again, I have so much sympathy for John. What a terrible life event. I feel terrible that he lost Jill, but it really seems like, you know, someone's in a tremendous amount of pain and is wildly overstepping boundaries.
A man that loses his wife is a turtle without a shell. That's what they are. Okay. They're snails, the turtles, the whatever they are.
Yeah.
They need a new shell and they're looking for one.
Well, because they grew up with their mom taking care of everything. And then right after that, their wife took care of everything. And so what are they going to do?
They don't like to be alone.
They don't like to be alone.
Fair enough.
Like I always say, I mean, I don't think this might not even be my, it's not a hot take, but you know, women are cats and men are dogs, and you can kind of like dump kibble on the floor, you know, and leave a bowl of water out, and a cat will be fine for years.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like a dog, it's like you will leave it alone for 5 minutes and it dies. This is why men die so quickly after their wives, but the wives will go on for years and years and years and live rich, full lives because they can take care of themselves.
What I don't hear Joanne saying is that she's worried about finding company. Sounds to me like she either has options or she, you know, this is not, he's the only guy on the planet who's looking at her, because otherwise she'd be interested in him.
I am certain Joanne's a smoke.
Joanne seems to have options. Here's the thing. If he has genuine feelings for her, there isn't much we could do about that. You know, he needs to work. I do think he sounds immature and fragile. He does. And then he won't take no and da 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 da. You know, he needs to work through that. And if he's not going
to
work through it,
I'm
not sure he really values. Here's the other secret to all of this. I'm not sure he really values all of these things that you do. I think he feels he deserves them. Meaning the trips to the cemeteries, the picnics, the organizing, the this, the that, the keeping him company. Because if he really, really appreciated it, he would respect you enough to stop hitting on you. And I think instead he believes everything is for him in this world. And it's not fair that his wife was taken. And of course, it's horrible.
It's not fair.
We talk about grief on this show a lot, and it's horrible, but it happens to everyone. And he feels the world is supposed to roll out the carpet and come running over like a bat out of hell when he says he's going to kill himself and this and that. And I don't mean to dismiss, you know, I don't know really how on the brink he is, but I know it's really not your responsibility. You're telling me he has two adult children.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
And I have to agree with Jesse. This boundary has not been drawn either clearly enough or been reinforced enough. And I'm sorry that he's ruining the summer concert series by hitting on you, but you probably need to say to him kind of what you've said to us in this letter, which is, John, I'm going to say this for the final time. If it really is bothering you, please stop making me uncomfortable by bringing up XYZ. We've been friends for 25 years. I love your company. I'm excited to do this. Da, 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 da. But if you can't stop, we can't spend any time together anymore. So either find a way to work through this or let me know. Because, you know, it would be incredibly disappointing, but this is how uncomfortable you're making me. It's not going anywhere.
Can I tag on with a theory and you just quickly tell me what you think?
Please. Because,
and I'm obviously Team Joanne. And my heart goes out to Joan, but I'm Team Joanne. Is there a world, I'm just wondering, in a world where she hasn't really like enforced the boundary and is clearly doing, going above and beyond with the music and the grave sites and the food and the visits. And it sounds like spending a lot of time.
Yeah.
Is there something within Joanne where she's enmeshing with John a little bit and is loving this drama?
But then why is she writing to us?
I mean,
because she probably
feels
it could be inappropriate. Like, I wonder if she's maybe thinking, I sort of had the same inclination, Jesse. I thought
like, is
maybe
she loving this a little bit? And well, I don't want to be like, a woman is loving when a man like
no,
is taking no
I would,
answer, but
no. I would say the same
like
thing.
A lot. It sounds like a lot. And she is
in some ways,
to
the question
back.
Is, what's the question?
Because
you don't want somebody
bit,
to hit on you, tell them.
A little bit for me. It
well,
would
or
be
don't keep coming back to spend more time.
Yeah.
Well, and I think also, at some point you could say, if you haven't already, I'm not equipped, John, to counsel you through this. I'm
absolutely
not. You yes. really need to see a, go to like a grief therapy group
yes.
or solo. But I actually am not equipped to do this, and it's feeling like a lot of pressure.
And you're putting your feelings in a lot of mixed up baskets.
Yeah. And if
yeah.
you're,
if
this is also
happening.
What I want to say, and it's really, like you said, it is absolutely not Joanne's responsibility. You could say, I will help you find the appropriate people, but I think I need to limit our interactions to a lunch every week. I
yeah.
just can't, I just can't, I love you. I'm concerned for you. I'm not equipped for this.
I think that is such good advice. I think you nailed it.
I do agree, though, with both of
Herpy.
You that
yeah,
she needs
really
a therapist.
And
she
I know
needs
he says
take
that he won't
a little
go.
Look.
He needs it. Yeah.
She needs to take a little look, though, at herself also and say, why do
sure.
I keep going back to, you know? And believe me, the motivation of doing this for her friend is, I completely understand that motivation. And that's a beautiful gift to give to the sort of loving, living memory of this person. On the other hand, I don't know how your friend would feel if she found out her husband was making you uncomfortable for the last 6 months.
Fair enough.
I don't think she would expect you to take him to a picnic and take him to this or that. And believe, people act in all kinds of mixed up, crazy ways with grief. And it truly is. There are people who just lose their mind for a year or whatever it is until they can find their way through it. So I appreciate the kid gloves of, I think this is just what he's going through. I don't think it's genuine, da, 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 da. But it is his responsibility or his daughter's to help him
I was gonna say,
find
you
a
could,
way through this.
You could
it's
tell the
yours.
Kids the same thing maybe you could tell him of just like, I am there for your father. I
he
feel like this is actually beyond me at this point, and he really
yeah.
needs some professional
yeah. it's
help.
It's been a
did
year.
She also have we do we know how old John is too? Have we gotten an age range?
Oh, I mean, 50. It's, he's 53. He's 53.
He's 53.
You think that young?
Oh,
it doesn't.
Yeah.
There's no.
Could
yeah,
be younger.
No,
It seems. Yeah. I mean, it is also the thing of, and especially with men, I feel like when they've been in like, you know, a relationship being taken care of for so long and maybe a little bit older, where it's just like, he might not even understand what therapy is.
Totally.
Like, this person really might, you know what I mean? It's like that generation where, I mean,
where it's emasculating or
just like
gibberish
like,
or.
My dad's notion of what therapy is I honestly think it, like he just pictures like Cuckoo's Nest. Like it's electric
sure,
shock.
Sure.
Like I think that's what he thinks therapy is and I'm not kidding.
Yeah. My parents think it's like godless. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like that. It's like, I just wonder if maybe there's some myths to be dispelled, but like, again, it's not Joanne's full responsibility. I see.
What's
off on
the gist of the, what's the gist of the chapter in the book about this?
Oh yeah.
Thing?
Oh, that your husband will remarry 5 minutes after you die.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of very much what Joanne is describing about John, which is I just
yeah.
think that men, and again, these are broad strokes, hashtag not all men, but just observing in the world, it seems more often than not, men just don't know how to be alone, don't want to deal with grief, want to immediately compartmentalize all of the pain. And I think women kind of are amazing insofar as, like, I don't feel like we compartmentalize at all and we just carry everything all at once, which I think is what Joanne is doing. But yeah, I think it's just like an immediate, they don't know how to really take care of themselves, and just want to, like, get away from whatever sort of,
and they find a way to rationalize too.
Finding to a way to rationalize.
I need this because of X, Y, Z.
Exactly.
Yeah. That Jesse, that men sort of crumble and can't be self-sufficient at all.
Can't be self-sufficient. Yeah. And just, I think whereas, like, some people might see grief as like a real process and an opportunity to kind of have some growth. I don't know. And selfishly, I mean, part of what made me write the chapter was just like, you know, I always think, well, of course I would want my partner to go on and find happiness. And you're like, yeah, maybe you can feel sad for a little while.
Right.
Like,
let's have a minimum amount of time. Give it a minute. Yeah.
And also, and it's like, I know you're going to end up with someone like 40 years younger or whatever. So, like, give it, maybe not 40, but, you know, before you start dating like the 25-year-old, like, just remember how awesome I was for like 5 years.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, but you know, 25-year-olds have so much to say and
they're so smart. They really do know it all.
They have so much life. They have so much life in them. You know, they make you feel young again. It's so fun to go to the zoo again. You know what I mean?
Totally, it just makes you see it totally different.
The zoo
Let's
is a place.
Look at a giraffe.
When you have small
Let's
children,
look at a giraffe.
You spend tons of time at the zoo, and then you just don't go to the zoo for 10 years.
Yeah.
So if you date someone, young, you know what was you just really get to do missing? All of those things again.
A zoo date, a hot zoo date.
What was really missing in your first marriage was Ibiza, turns out.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go.
All right, dear. Let us know what happens. But yeah, have a little look at yourself and say, just because I'm divorced and single doesn't mean I have to play the matter routine all the time. This guy's pushed the boundary a little bit. Okay? So figure out why you haven't pushed it back further.
But also, I would love someone to lean on like that. So if you are in the market for a replacement for John, I'm happy.
She is for sure because she's got these tickets.
Joanne.
Oh my God, Joanne, if you need someone to go with you to see some kind of Boston Pops or wherever you are.
That sounds fun.
There are other people in this group. Let other people shoulder this. Why is this your job just because you don't have another person living
in
your
house? That is the one. I know we're moving on, but I feel like this is three words. Pass John around.
Yeah.
There you go.
Pass John around.
Lastly, I would absolutely cut your hair very short, dive off a boat in the middle of the ocean that he's on, change your identity completely, swim to a new town and meet someone new. And I think that should be the end of
it. And fall in love with Olivia Newton-John's ex-husband.
Exactly.
That's what he did. Sure. You know that.
Yes.
Faked his own death.
Oh, I remember that.
Unbelievable.
How appalling. Can you imagine someone, if that isn't your deepest, darkest fear, is that if someone in your life had to fake their death to get away from you, what would feel worse? Not even just someone saying to you, look, I don't want to do this anymore. Saying, you know what? I'm not going to let you have a conversation. I'm just going to jump off
a boat. I need you to think I washed ashore.
Dead. Yeah. I need you to think I didn't wash ashore. Yeah.
Can I also say on the flip side, when I think about like bucket list and like things I would love to try and experience in this life, I'm like, I'll be sad if I don't. Like, it must be fun to fake your own death a little bit.
Oh, for sure.
Like, am I ever going to get to do that? I mean, I never want to have to do it, but it might be fun to do it by
You have to be running from the tax man or something, whatever he's doing.
But it always ends with a Mai Tai and a sun hat, you know? You want a beach somewhere new.
Oh, a Hannibal Lecter in a white suit. Yeah.
Me and the Jude Law type.
Exactly.
Yes. Dear Ron at Brian, capital Y today.
Yeah. Jesse's made me feel really good, so I like
it. An informative guest. There we go. Fair enough. I've been a fan from the start and always impressed by the thoughtful, sincere, and sometimes sinister advice. Looking at you, Bri.
How dare you?
How dare they call you Bri? I never thought I'd write in, but I'm stuck in a friendship dilemma. I'll keep this short. No, you don't.
Prove it.
I'm feeling getting the reverse feeling right now.
My best friend for over 15 years decided we are no longer friends. Cool. That's their word, not mine. Here's the story. We met in high school and immediately became best friends. We have traveled together, lived together, and our families are equally close. In short, we were as close as ever. We live 2 hours away now in large cities and are from the same hometown. 2 hours away in large cities, equidistant. Yeah. What are we talking
Philly
about?
Philly and New York.
Yeah. Albany and yeah.
Right.
My father recently became very sick and spent 3 weeks in intent. That was kind of a fun brain teaser, though. Brian.
I know.
Could be Philly and New York. Could be right. New York and Boston.
Carmen San Diego.
One of them lives in New Haven and one of them's in Stamford or something.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, no, they're from Stamford. And one of them lives in Boston. One of them's in New York. My father recently became very sick and spent 3 weeks in intensive care in the hospital. He's on the mend. Lovely to hear it, but working hard on recovery. Naturally, this was shocking, upsetting, and an incredibly emotional month for me. My friend's 30th birthday. These are my favorite questions. What I'd like to do when we answer this question, by the way, is just give a blanket answer for 30-year-olds and birthday parties, if we could possibly do that, and what the rules are that apply to 30-year-olds and birthday
parties.
Insert
answer here.
Yeah. My friend's 30th birthday was coming up, and I had to cancel our one-on-one plans as I had to drive home to be with my dad. I live in another state away from them. She said she understood but began ignoring all my calls and texts about updates on my dad and suggestions for planning the birthday redo about a month out. She responds a week later saying how hurt she was that I didn't make time for her and that I put her on the back burner. Parentheses, I sure did. I like that. Mm-hmm. She says she needs time, but just feels that she's too hurt to still remain friends. I'm stunned by this behavior because she is close with my parents. And also, you are a 30-year-old woman. This isn't about you. Mm-hmm. I'm also hurt because I assumed she would understand about postponing a birthday get together. Clearly, she did not understand and made this scary experience about her. I am not the first friend to get the axe from her as she gets, quote, hurt and removes people from her life. But I am only one of a few left in her life. I know you always get questions dealing with adults acting wacky, insane for their birthdays, but I'm stuck here. How do I go forward with this? I lost a friend over something that seems impossibly silly to be mad at. I want to explain where I'm coming from and have her understand family is a priority, but I also wanted her to realize she's being foolish. I think I'm done with this friend because of the self-absorbed response on her end, but I want to make sure I'm heard. Good luck, dear. Let this be the lesson for the rest of your life, making sure you're heard. The white whale. I'll miss her family as friends, and I wonder if they realize this crazy mess or are taking her side? Question mark. Even if she reaches out soon, I'm not ready to talk. Oh, I would have thought the opposite. When I am ready, what would you suggest I say back? How do you deal with a friendship this close breaking up? Thank you for the wisdom. Yes, she was 29 when this happened. Can I blame her? LOL. Yes, I can. Sincerely, Z.
Oh, Z.
End this friendship, or at least recognize it for what it is, which is casual. This is what you are asking to do is change an entire person.
Yeah.
This is only one little symptom and reaction to what you can expect from your friendship with her. It's so galling and gross to me that this.
Galling.
Yeah.
Galling. Such a good.
Galling.
Galling is perfect.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think, Jesse and Rana?
Oh, thank you for including me.
I always mean you, Rana, but we have a guest.
I might need Rana to go first because I'm honestly, I'm agog. I'm speechless.
Yeah.
I'm shook. Yeah. I don't even really know what I'm supposed to say here.
It's everyone
who wants
needs,
a friend like that.
Everyone needs to let go of, or in this instance, she needs to let go of, I thought I was different. This friend has left a trail of destruction. This is what she does. She breaks up with people when they don't do what she wants. She gets overly wounded. She doesn't care in any way about what's going on in someone else's life. And people disappoint her all of the time. Actually, you're articulating how she feels. Does she have a right to feel that way? It doesn't matter. I mean, truly. Of course, she doesn't have a right to feel that way, but she does. This is who this person is. Everybody who doesn't do what she wants is wounding her and she's taking it personally. She does not care that your father was in ICU or whatever else, because everything is I care, but. I mean, that's not great, but it was my birthday.
Yeah.
It can still hurt me. And it's like, I guess you didn't have to express it though.
Well,
you should have known how selfish it was to be like, it hurt me that you spent time with your dad.
What a horrible thing to say to a person whose father is in intensive care. Horrible. I just want to know you hurt my family. Instead of saying, even if she felt that way, mm-hmm. why didn't she just bite it for a couple of months and live with the disappointment? This is the other thing. People think they don't have to live with disappointment for some reason. This is part of life. Live with a little disappointment.
But there's
work your way through it and make a plan with your friend.
There's
but that's
no
not who this person is.
Was in the hospital.
Right. Correct.
Like, what?
But this is all about how the friend feels. And the problem with our letter writer is our letter writer believed she was one of the one or two or three people who are different. She'll never do the thing to me that she's done to everybody else, which is the fragility and then the breakup, or the wound and then the breakup. And here it is, dear. It's just your turn.
Look, I hate to repeat myself, but I'm feeling similar feelings with Z that I felt with Joanne, where I'm like, Z, this feels so like a real open and shut case, a real cut and dry. Let this terrible friend, like the fact that this is even a question is so shocking to me. And I just feel like, again, a la Joanne, Z is in some ways reflecting back this drama, like loves to be in this drama. And that is the only, like, there just shouldn't be.
Lives in that drama. She's breaking up with people all the time. Her 30th birthday is the most important thing to her in the world. I mean, that's who this person is. She's a narcissist. But I mean, you know, not to oversimplify it. But you need to let, I guess the part about wanting to be heard, here's the thing. You can't make somebody hear you.
No.
But
there's
a
lesson
but you can say your
piece.
You're
never going to be heard. Wishing you were going to be heard, you're not going to be heard.
And you can, and something I have struggled with in my own life is why tell someone if they're not going to hear it?
Yeah.
And sometimes you just want to say your piece. And sometimes you just go back and forth saying, do I need to say this if it's not going to be heard? Do I care about being heard or do I care about saying it? And so in that way, this is very simple. If you really feel, it sounds to me like you really feel you want to say something. And it seems very simple, which is, I'm really disappointed that our friendship has ended over this. But my father was in the hospital. I would have thought if there was any excuse for rescheduling, you could understand that it would be that one. And the fact that you've chosen to make me feel even worse about this when I was going through one of the most difficult things in my life, I'll repeat, my father was in the hospital, is really disappointing. I thought we were better friends than that. And I thought you cared about me. I've offered several times to redo the birthday, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, I don't know where we go from here, basically, but I just want you to know that I can't believe that you didn't think it was important to support me in that moment, as opposed to blaming me.
Hard agree on all of this. Can I throw one other log into this fire?
Please.
Everyone needs to care about their birthday a little less.
Oh, sure.
Couldn't agree
more. Everyone needs to turn it down on their birthday, unless you are turning one. You're turning 50 or you're turning 100. I'll give you three birthdays where you can really blow it out. 150 and 100. And other than that, you get what you get and you don't get upset. Yeah.
And why is everyone, why does everyone need everyone else to celebrate them? That I'll never understand. Why don't you just choose how you want to spend your day? Why is the day looking at other people saying happy birthday?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just to clarify, everyone celebrate your birthday. Like,
sure.
How lucky are we to live right. this life and breathe this air? But yeah. just, I mean, it's like take the bull by the horns. And then after that, like the idea that you're owed a birthday by others.
It's yeah. so ridiculous.
Yeah.
But you're Jesse, the difference is though, you're also a Jehovah's Witness. So that's part yeah. of your philosophy anyway. Yeah.
It's part of, I mean, it's something I really believe in strongly.
Right. No, but Prince always said that. He was just like, I would never celebrate a birthday because like, it just seems stupid.
There's one other thing you could say to her, which is baby talk, it's a wonder you can walk.
Rana. Honestly, that's actually a very good dig.
I also have one other. It is a perfect dig. And I have one other log to throw in the fire.
Hit it.
Please.
Well, I just want to revise a little bit what I was saying about you'll never be heard and like kind of putting down. I was not putting down Z for saying she wanted to be heard. But I did think about it. And I'm like, you know, as I kind of go through my little Rolodex of life experiences, I'm like, I can understand that there are some friendships you're departing or a relationship or what have you, where whether you're going to be heard or not,
right.
you do just need to like...
For yourself.
Just to, you might just for your, purely for yourself, just need to say one last thing.
Yes, there's, yeah. you can't make other people hear and no, receive you might, what yeah. you're saying.
Yeah.
But there's absolutely nothing wrong with wanting to say it and wanting to put it in terms that you feel they could be open to.
I mean, as a writer,
you just can't make them.
No, yeah. you absolutely cannot.
I think that's what you were really trying to say.
And by the way, along with the writer thing, Jesse, I would say I think she should email this or text it. I would yeah. not even initiate in a conversation.
Oh, this is absolutely something.
Oh, conversation.
You have got to get it all out without being interrupted.
Not a conversation. Because it will never be a conversation.
It will devolve into baby talk, baby talk. It's baby talk. You can walk. No question.
But also yeah. take this opportunity to craft a perfect
yeah.
text or email. And you know, sometimes when you write them and you're just like, a little chef kiss oh, moment. Yeah. Like,
sleep on it for like 2 nights after you write it. And then,
yeah, but then
it's also okay
for sure. oh, absolutely.
To mourn the loss of this friendship. It's oh, it doesn't make you weak or anything else to be sad that this person isn't going to be your friend anymore or that you're not going to have them in your life in that way. But this is a little bit of one of those 30-year-old moments where you say, I'm a grown-up, because you're saying she's a 30-year-old woman, she's a grown-up. Well, you're a grown-up too, if that's how you want to put it. And you have to decide how you want your life to be instead of letting things just happen to you. You have to decide who you want to spend your time with and who you want to be close with and who you want to be understood by and share your time with, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's your little piece in this too, is to say, do I want to just keep doing this? It doesn't sound like it.
Get better friends.
Yeah.
Brian, dear.
Darling. Here we go. Dear Rana Bryant and noteworthy guest, if applicable. Are you kidding me?
Of course instant it is. Bestseller. Instant wow. bestseller.
Oh my God. Bestseller.
I don't know what you're
after
doing if you're not buying.
Instant New York Times.
I'll show myself out on sale right now. Go grab yeah. it. You got to do it.
This is only the third or fourth instant New York Times bestseller we've had on this show.
Instant. Before anyone even buys it, bestseller.
Instant.
Yeah.
Instant.
I've waffled over sending you this question all day. We've got a lot of that today.
Oh, people all like, day.
I didn't know
wow.
I should send it.
Yeah, just
send all
it.
Day, huh?
You should have been waffling for a month.
Lying in a field all day, wondering.
I was complaining the other week that people are just, don't just send us a question because you have a question.
Right.
Send
Rana,
us a
we
question
still have to release the style guide.
Question.
That's the problem.
That's true. Yeah. Well, that was between you and Adam O'Byrne. Okay, dear, go on.
Okay. Waffled over sending you this question all day, but I'm listening
all
to your
day.
Episode all with Richard Lawson and was reminded that you do not want questions about paper versus plastic. And pause the podcast, which, yeah, I guess, Rana, you just explained.
At the grocery store, yeah. I mean, yeah. you know, that sort of thing. Dear Rana, I've been meaning to ask, do you think I should use paper bags or plastic bags?
Rana wants to meet on the
boat. You know, mm-hmm. come on.
Yeah.
Entertain people a little, yeah.
And pause the podcast to follow through with my original impulse to write in with my question. I've been casually seeing a very strong, young, handsome fella. And when I say casually, I mean it. He's a bar. I love that they led with strong. I feel like strong. I don't hear that very often. Yeah.
Yeah. Lucky you. Don't really see that anymore.
I know. He's a bartender. I was so struck by it. He's a bartender who asked me out when I was watching March Madness at his bar about a month ago. Since then, he's come over to my place a few times. And every time when it comes to the strip down, I've been overwhelmed by an incredible funk.
Oh.
I know it's natural. And a number of factors can contribute to body odor, but it is pungent. He's good looking, a sweet guy. So it's not a chore to power through. I honestly just think he's coming from a long bartending shift and any one of us would be carrying the day around, but the situation inhibits me a little bit. And did I mention he's HOT hot? I want to go to town. How can I sexily approach the issue? Oof. Thank you and kiss, kiss. K, she, her. P.S. I've written in before about my terrible ex and how miserable our breakup was for me. Your advice was right on the money. And I keep an episode cue to the moment where Brian calls my ex a narcissistic asshole because it delights me in dark moments. What's my point? You two are wonderful and I'm doing much better. Help me keep that momentum, please.
Oh my God, she's a real return customer. And of she course really she is. Who among us? Who among
in a
us?
Different place in her life altogether.
I mean, just traveling along with you guys for this whole life ride.
Yeah.
Wow, this is a toughie.
Yeah. I think, first of all, I think that if you want to do it sexily, you shower together or something.
Ooh.
And you...
Brian, not your first rodeo getting people. You're like, I have a perfect... that just broke my brain.
I have been with someone in the past who I was getting sort of serious about, and it became an issue. But this person also just straight up did not wear deodorant, like, and was a firm believer in not wearing deodorant.
Yeah.
To the point where I finally had to say, like, the first few times it was a shower, but that lasts an hour.
Yeah.
And ultimately it became like, I think maybe you should start wearing deodorant. And that was like an issue.
I don't know how... These are some of the words that in the English language that I don't know how you say them.
Fair enough.
Question from time to time.
But he was like a mountain man. I know.
I have a dear friend who's a very successful person, and he doesn't wear deodorant, and everyone just lives with it.
Right.
And I don't know what you're supposed to do.
I don't either. But you could start with the shower if you do think it's taking the day off. And I think if things progress, you could just say like,
is it his smell or is it that he doesn't wear deodorant?
You mean, is it BO or is it like
smell?
Right.
If you just don't like his smell, then congratulations. I'm sorry. You know, a fly fell into your spider web and now you can't keep it. I don't know what
to do. Honestly, there's no getting over that. I'm with you. There's no getting over it.
What's amazing is how I think like it would just maybe we use this podcast as a reminder to people that we often can't smell ourselves. We can't smell our own surroundings.
Fair enough.
I remember once in my 20s hooking up with a gentleman who I thought this will be fine and then walked into his home and it smelled so strongly of cinnamon.
I thought you were going.
No, I know, but it was like so much of a cinnamon smell.
Yankee Doodle candle.
It felt a little serial killer, a little like, what are you covering up? Like,
right.
Yeah.
I know you're like cinnamon, that's pleasant, but like I also don't want a man's home to smell like cinnamon.
Sure. Well, not cinnamon floor cleaner.
Yeah. It was just anyway.
So you walked in and you walked out.
No, we made out for a couple hours, but the whole time I was like, ugh.
Why does it smell like cinnamon? Yeah.
It just was creepy. Anyway, but I don't think he was aware of how strongly that smell was smelling. And we can't really smell ourselves. And so we have to make sure.
Did you tell him
that
we're
keeping up
with
our hygiene? Oh, we were never going to see each other again. Yeah.
And he's the mayor. And he's the mayor of New York now.
Anyway, I just am always. It's like a really important thing to remember is you just have to really make sure you're checking your boxes.
Yeah, so to speak.
So to speak.
You've got to figure it out if it's his smell or the smell. Yeah, that's the first thing to me, because I'm sorry that you found this hot, strong, young, drink-making, strapping, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes you've got to throw them back if they don't smell. I mean, that to me is the ultimate reminder that we're animals, is scent.
Yeah,
sure.
And it either works or it doesn't work, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Mm. We're all just a horseshoe away from a barn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But gotta keep it.
I, in my life, have never known how to tell a person they need to wear deodorant if they weren't related to me.
I don't either. I mean, it's a real, a toothpaste.
Related, very.
I'll tell you, I sort of copped out when I did it because I said, like, I think it's the fabric of that shirt, maybe, that's like not breathing.
Yeah.
But and you so, found an elegant sexual way to deal with it.
I did. I found, right. Yeah. Take a shower.
Try showering together. If it doesn't work,
yeah,
I'm afraid you'll have to find another bad you'll have to watch the final four with or whatever it was, Match Madness. Yeah. Right. Yeah. All right, dear. This is the time in our show where we decide who's getting something.
Yeah, it is. So, Jesse, are we going to give a special little prize to, we do it to whoever we think deserves it, just from the heart or from the gut? Are we going to give it to the lady who's dating a strong man who smells? Mm. Or are we going to give it to the to Joanne?
Mm. Sure.
Or are we going to give it to the friend breakup?
I think we got to give it to Joanne. Poor Joanne's trying the hard. It's like she a no-brainer to me. Yeah. Joanne is at least really trying to do the right thing.
I agree. Yeah.
What could we give Joanne that the friend would be jealous of? Something that Joanne is living her best life
with. Wait, Joanne is the... Oh, I was saying Joanne is the widower friend.
Oh, I was giving it to the friend.
Oh, I just think Joanne's working so hard to help someone.
Oh, okay.
Brian,
so Joanne,
are you with me?
I'm with
I don't
know. You.
So Joanne needs something for the summer concert series.
Sure, maybe a
like
kerchief?
A see-through purse. Yeah,
a netted purse.
Well, you know, you can't bring a real purse into these places anymore. It has to be a see-through purse, a plastic purse, so everyone can see your tampons when you go through the security.
Joanne might not be.
Joanne's getting
anymore.
A beautiful Amarovitz lip balm. Because Joanne needs to be kissing the right people.
That
and
sounds
it's not
wonderful.
This guy.
Yes.
That's what Joanne's getting.
Yes, lip balm.
Jesse, dear, you've got such a week. We've got to let you go because this is the week of your life right now.
It is. Oh,
I've mentioned the dry cleaning. I have so many clothes to put on. Thank
does your
you so
son
much for
understand?
Having me.
Does your son understand how accomplished you are?
I mean, first of all, I mean, what are we really talking about here? But no, he understands nothing. He lives on cheese and bread, and his favorite show is Dinosaur Train.
Fabulous.
And you don't
fabulous.
Yeah.
And you don't tick any of those boxes, unfortunately.
No, no. Yeah. I'm just like a big, like a giant Pez dispenser that he loves. He loves.
Sure.
Sure.
But yeah. No.
Yeah. This is such an exciting
week. I love that
week.
For You is out this later this week.
Yeah. Everyone needs
so
to watch.
Exciting.
I love that for
absolutely.
You.
Everyone knows how obsessed I am with QVC. So just
and Kings.
Absolutely. And
I'll
then, of course,
show
the book
myself
is out, now.
Out today. Link in our bio.
Yeah.
We're so excited for you. Will you come back and do advice with us again sometime?
Oh my God. Absolutely.
I might have Jesse on for a one-on-one while Brian's out of town. We'll see.
Honored. What? Honored.
Yeah. Well, you know, Brian, I've got to stop filling my calendar. I can't just wait.
I have some stuff to say about Jesse when we get off that I don't think you're going to hear.
Gosh.
Just you can tell I've gathered over the
in
years.
Awe to be near both Brian and Rana.
You're wonderful, Jesse.
We love you, dear. So delighted for you. Keep up the fabulous work and enjoy this week.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Kiss, kiss.
Mwah. Kiss, kiss. Now, wait a minute. Brian just hopped off, as did Jesse at the same time, if you can believe it. Brian, I think, has a meeting with the tow company to talk about his next campaign. But I'm going to read the cliffhanger by myself, which means that Brian will have to help me answer it next week. He'll have to read it on Patreon. Patreon.com/AskRana. Come there to hear the answer to this cliffhanger. And I'm sorry, Brian's not going to hear this, but we don't even need Brian's extra sauciness for this because this is such an absolutely insane bananas dramatic letter. Dear Mrs. Glickman, Lady Brian, and possible guest, inspired by Rana recently wanting juicy questions, thank you very much, I decided to do something I thought I would never do and write in. It's not that I wouldn't take your advice on any topic. It's just that I am lucky enough to have a sister and best friend who I turn to regularly. But since this very bizarre issue involves one of them, I have just been bottling it in. My best friend Emmett moves to Australia. Ah, we're going to start like that. And wouldn't you know, he meets and falls in love with a lovely Irish girl who coincidentally was my neighbor growing up. The world's a small place. Emmett is from the other side of Ireland. This will become important later on. Okay, we'll put a pin in that. We're going to need Garode Farrelly to come on to help us answer this uniquely Irish dilemma. Cut to 2020 and they decide to move home, and a month later the pandemic hits and they decide to quarantine near his neck of the woods. I move back near home to be in the countryside with my sister. I talk to Emmett and his girlfriend, Lucy, in quotes, that's not the real name, all the time. And Emmett tells me he's going to propose and she is the one. They get engaged. I'm delighted for them. They come down here after the engagement so he can meet all her family and to hang out with me, obviously. Emmett turns up at my door near midnight at the start of their trip. And that's when it all kicks off. Dot, 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 dot. Very Irish, the drama of this. And on a dark, cold night. Emmett stays that night and tells me they have broken up. You could have blown me over with shock and from how out of the blue it was, I assume it was Lucy who broke it off. Emmett is heartbroken, and leaves the next day. This is Jane Austen. It's not until I run into Lucy's sister and realize he had broken up with her, and she is shell-shocked and utterly devastated. The sister starts grilling me to know if I know who Emmett had met or what had happened. I immediately ring Emmett, and he confirms they broke up but won't say why. This kind of thing had never happened in our relationship before, so for me, he was acting strange. I don't push it. And then 6 months later, when we are out on a drunken night in Dublin, he tells me that when he met her father, they had met before. Oh. Well, I'm reading this for the first time. When they slept together a few times in Glasgow. I don't know if I could go on. I might leave the cliffhanger right here. I'm reading one more paragraph and then I'm just going to leave this cliffhanger, because if you don't want to come to patreon.com/askRonna to hear the rest of this, you're out of your mind. $5 gets you into the carriage house for now. $10 gets you sauna privileges to see the video. And this is perhaps the best cliffhanger we've ever had. Not to mention the sisters involved. I haven't even gotten to that yet. The way Emmett tells it, the blood drained from his body, and at the first opportunity, the father grabs him and says, "You must break up with my daughter. I won't go into the jigs and reels," that must be an Irish expression, "of what Emmett had to process to come to this eventual decision that night, even though I know ye, my goodness, love when the letter gives you every bit of backstory." Important details to know. Emmett is bisexual and is out. I have known Lucy's father all my life, and he identifies as straight anyway and has been married for going on 40 years. That was the first time they were meeting, as her dad is a captain of an oil rig and works weeks on and then off, and gave Emmett a fake name in Glasgow where Emmett was doing an internship and was about 22 at the time. I'm not kidding. I'm not going to read another word, because there are several more paragraphs and this is absolutely gobsmackingly incredible. Join us at patreon.com/askRonna. I'm definitely getting Garode Farrelly on to answer this with us if I can. And askronacoffee.com. I'd rather be looking at it than looking for it. And of course, negrana.com. Keep Connor McKay packing those boxes, please, and keep yourself lucky enough to drink one. All right, dears. Thank you to our dear friend, Jessie Klein, for joining us. Her book is out. Her show is out. And to the love of our lives, Brian, of course, who I'm crossing my fingers that he's getting that tow truck campaign. Kiss, kiss.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.